Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer.
Revelation chapter number 8. Allow me to read all 13 verses, fairly short chapter here, and I want to get back to our Revelation study this morning. I believe it's where the Lord would have us to be today. I do appreciate you being here with, I don't want to concentrate on all those that are going out of town, they'll be back, but I want to concentrate on you that are here, and also the sermon audio, the downloads. I think that this coming a month for June, this past month, I should say, I believe we're going to end up having the most sermon audio or video downloads we've ever had in a month, if my calculations are right. And so I'm really tickled. And there's every service, there's people gathered around their internet, and they watch this service live. And we don't know who they are. We just know that we get a number of how many. We don't know how many people. We know how many computers or so forth. So Brother Harm has worked hard to help us not only minister to our county, but to our state, our country, and all over the world. And we still, it's a real blessing to see that besides America, to see how many folks in China listen to sermons preached from this sacred desk. And my daughter, she wants to move to Australia. She wants to be an Australian. And I told her that's where all the poisonous snakes and poisonous animals are. I said, they're just crocodiles and all that. I guess she wants to be the next Steve Irwin. And she wants to move down there. And so when she saw last month that the number two country besides the United States with the most downloads was Australia, she really got a kick out of that. She called them her people. And so I don't know what that means, but that's her people. She's never been there, never been around it, but that's her people. And I guess my daughter is physically an American, mentally an Australian, so I don't know how that works. She loves water. She's a fish, what she is. And I guess that's what about Australia, surrounded by water, what really thrills her. But anyway, we thank God for all those that download these sermons all across the country and are listening today or watching today through the live web streaming. All right, Revelation chapter number 8, Revelation chapter number 8. Let's get into this. Verse number 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, and we know this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is opening the seventh sealed book. We're dealing with the tribulation period. There was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Verse 6, the Bible says, the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And there were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. Verse 11. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. Excuse me. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and third part of the stars, so as the third part of them were darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the great privilege to be in the house of the Lord today. Thank You, Lord, that we have gathered in this place, Lord, to hear from Thee. Lord, every one of us, Lord, in this place has, this past week, Lord, have dealt with problems, whether they be of physical nature or mentally, emotionally, Lord, financially, domestically, and even, Lord, spiritually. And Lord, we are not the answer. We can't find the answer in ourselves. We can't find the answer in other men. But Lord, You are still the answer. So Lord, we're gathered in this place with all our needs and all our problems that need an answer. With all, Lord, the situations that we find ourselves in, we need a cure. We need a miracle. So Lord, we ask You in Christ's name that You'd meet in this place this morning. I pray that You would help me, empower me, Lord, with a touch of the Holy Spirit of God. Give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech, that I'll be a blessing and not a burden. That I'll be a help and not a hindrance. Thank You, Lord, for allowing, Lord, the Cook family to be back and to have a special family with them today. And we're thankful, Lord, for Miss Miller being here, Lord, and Lord, to have Robert back, Lord, and to see Matt back, Lord, and allowing, Lord, some of these folks, Lord, that have to work on the Lord's Day are able to be here today. We're tickled about that. Amen. Lord, for our many folks, Lord, that love this place, Lord, that give theirselves to this place that are gone today, we miss them. We pray that You'll guard over them, watch over them. Help them, Lord, as they travel back on the busy byways and highways, that You give them safety. And I pray You'll bless, Lord, the nursery worker. You'll bless Miss Angie as she ministers to our children. And Lord, may You help us today. In Christ's name we beg You, amen and amen. Thank You and be seated. Revelation chapter number 8. Now, if you'll allow me just a few moments, I want to step back to our last study, which was two Sundays ago, concerning Revelation chapter number 7. And I want to remind you that in chapter 7, we had a what we call a break from the action. You remember that it all goes back to God is sitting on the throne of heaven. John is seeing this. And John sees that in the right hand of God is a seven-sealed book. And this seven-sealed book is a book that needs to be opened. And the Bible says that an angel came and he did not ask who's rich enough to open, who is intelligent enough to open, who is strong enough to open, but the Bible says that he asked the question, who is worthy to open the seven-sealed book? Well, you and I know that there's only one that is worthy, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, our Lord, steps forward, and he takes the seven-sealed book from the hand of Almighty God. And the Bible says that he begins with the first seal and he opens the first seal. The first seal, of course, the first seal judgment. We got the picture of the Antichrist and the white horse and how the Antichrist will come on the scene. He will become very popular in politics and government during the tribulation period after the rapture of the New Testament church. You and I, thank God, according to God's word, will not have to go through 1 second of the tribulation period. Amen. But after we are raptured out, after the book of Thessalonians says the trump of God will sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah for that. For the first time we'll see Jesus, even though we've already met. Amen. Amen for that. And we'll rise up out of this old wicked, defiled world, and we'll live with the Lord. But during that 7 years, there will be hell upon earth. And it is seen in the opening of the seven seals, and this first seal is the revealing of the Antichrist. The second seal is opened by the Lord, and only He can open these seals. And the second seal is not a white horse, but it is a red horse. And a red is the picture of blood and of violence in the Word of God. And this red horse is the Antichrist as he turns on Israel, as he turns on the kingdoms of this world. He will try to deceive them, saying that he is Christ, he's the Messiah, he is the one that is going to save our economy and the economy, bad economies of the world, and people will begin to worship him. He will make a peace treaty with Israel, and the Middle East will be calm, but it's only temporary. It is only a counterfeit peace, because real peace only comes from God. And then after some time, he will reveal his true colors. And they will see that he is not a Messiah, but he's a murderer. They will see that he is not this king that they desire, but he's a dictator. You will see that he is not a man that loves life, but he's a man that will love death. And many will die under his reign. And then we have the third seal being opened, and that is, of course, the black horse. And the black horse is a picture of famine in the Word of God. Because of all the red and the wars and the bloodshed that will be going on and the devastation that it will cause upon our vegetation and on our plants and upon our fruit trees, that there will be a great famine in this world. Many will die. And then the fourth seal was opened, and of course it was the pale horse. And the pale horse was rode by death. And the Bible says that he was not alone, but he had a partner, and it says hell followed death. And I want you to be reminded today, if you're lost without the remission of sins, without your sins being washed away, that if you die, it does not end with the grave. It's not over there. But there is an eternity that we all will go to. Either you will eternally live in heaven because you're saved, or you will eternally die in hell forever. So I hope and pray that you know the Lord as your personal Savior, because death does not end it all. People every day take their lives with this saying, I've got to end it all. No, it's just beginning. Eternity is beginning for you and I when we die. And so the Bible says the fifth seal was open. You remember the fifth seal was the saints of God that were under the altar, and under the altar there was there. And the Bible says while they were under the altar, they were praying, how long, O God? These were the ones that were martyred during the tribulation period. We know that during the tribulation period, there will be people saved. There will be people that will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. They never heard the gospel story before. They never had an opportunity to be saved. A just God, God being a holy God, God being a loving God, He will not allow anybody to go to hell without opportunities to be saved. And they will be saved in the tribulation period, but because they will not take the mark of the beast, because they will not do that and they will not align themselves up to the leadership of the Antichrist, they will be killed. And these martyrs that have been killed in the fifth seal are crying out to God, how long until you bring vengeance upon this wicked world? The sixth seal was opening. We saw in the sixth seal about all the earthquakes and all the devastation going on. And now we saw that after the sixth seal, we got to chapter 7, and there was a calm upon earth. The Bible says that God sent the four angels to the four corners of the world. And you know, we have the news we watch every evening at 6, and now you can watch it at 4 o'clock if you like to. And they have the news. N stands for north, E stands for east, W stands for west, and S stands for south. It is the news from the four corners of the globe. And God will send the four angels, one to the north, one to the east, one to the west, and one to the south. And they will be there to hold back the four winds upon the world, upon the earth. And there's a calm during that time. What is happening in chapter 7 is the sealing of the 144,000 Jewish missionaries. We read about 12,000 from each 12 tribes of the tribes of Israel. And they will be commissioned to go out and preach the gospel to these. And the Bible says that there will be multitudes that will be gloriously saved. Amen. And we saw them in the ending of chapter 7. They're worshiping God. They're shouting glory to God. If you can't shout or hallelujah over being saved, then you can't really shout about anything. It's a blessing to be saved. It's a blessing and a joy to be a child of God. And they're rejoicing in chapter 7. And they are having a Holy Ghost fit, we'll call it. They are under the spout where the glory comes out. And they're praising the Lamb of God for saving them. But when we get to chapter 8, notice the Bible says, verse 1, "And when he had opened the seventh seal," this is the last seal of the seven sealed book. But this seventh seal is going to be more severe in its judgments than the first six seals ever was. In the seventh opening of the seventh seal, we're going to see the beginnings of the seven trumpet judgments. And the Bible says that when he, Jesus Christ, had opened the seventh seal. By the way, seven in the Bible means completion. It means perfection. God's judgment during the tribulation period will be perfect. It will be complete. He won't leave anything, any loose ends untied. It will be as he has ordained it. He is perfect. His judgments are perfect. Amen. So the seventh seal will be open. And this seventh seal is being opened. The Bible says, watch this, that when it was open, immediately there was silence in heaven. Are you with me today? Silence in heaven. And this silence lasted 30 minutes. Round about, the Bible used the word about a half an hour. Now, 30 minutes to you may not sound like a long time, but stand in line at a cash register waiting for you to pay for your groceries and tell me what 30 minutes feels like. Amen. Get in an automobile accident and tell me what 1 minute feels like. Sometimes 30 minutes feels like it just was a minute or two, and there's other times 30 minutes feels like an eternity. And this 30 minutes no doubt felt longer than the actual 30 minutes. There was silence in heaven for 30 minutes. In chapter 7, there was silence upon the earth. But now in chapter 8, this is the second time we see the calm before the storm. And now the silence is in heaven. And John looks and he sees that these angels and these cherubims and all the saints of God that are there, these people that have been rejoicing and shouting praises to God, immediately when the seventh seal is open, they're awestruck. And they're almost dumbfounded at what they see. And what they're seeing is the awesome and terrible judgment of God that is about to be poured out in these seven trumpet judgments. So fearful and awesome this judgment, these judgments will be that heaven is quieted. Verse number 2, "And I saw," John is privileged to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day on the Isle of Patmos. You know the story there. And he's seeing this, and God allowed him to write this down so you and I can see a little bit of our future. We don't have to go down the road to a woman with a towel on her head with a little old clear globe trying to make out what our future is or has cards that she needs to look at. We can go to the Bible, amen. It's more trustworthy anyway, amen. He said, "I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." Each angel gets a trumpet. This is God's band right here, Brittany. Brittany's been in band school for Flower Branch High School playing that clarinet. This is God's band getting together, and they all got trumpets. And verse 3, "And another angel came, and he stood there." Now watch this angel. I want to talk about him today. Another angel came. There's seven there that have seven trumpets, but here's an eighth angel. And he came and he stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. The Bible says that John saw seven angels given seven trumpets by God. They've not yet been commissioned or ordered to blow their trumpets. But before the trumpets are going to be sounded, there's another angel that steps forth, and I believe with all my heart that this angel is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this angel is serving as a high priest according to the Old Testament. You remember my wife just sung the song about the Day of Atonement. Do you know what the Day of Atonement was? It was a day that the children of Israel, when they were living for the Lord, they would have a tabernacle that they would carry with them. And they built that tabernacle, and we talked about the furnishings that were in the tabernacle, from the altar of burnt sacrifice to the brazen laver to the altar of incense to the table of showbread that had 12 loaves on it. Then we had the golden candlestick, and then you had, of course, the veil, and behind the veil was the most precious altar, the altar or the Ark of the Covenant. And they would worship God, but on the Day of Atonement, one day a year, listen to me, one day a year, the great high priest, the high priest, would take the blood of a sacrificial animal, and he would take that animal blood, and he would there sprinkle it upon the horns there of the altar. And it was a picture of a prophecy that one day God's holy Lamb would come. He would be spotless without blemish, and he would sacrificially give his life. He would shed his blood for the sins of all the world. The very first description that mankind gave Jesus when he walked on this earth was by John the Baptist, when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And so this angel here is, notice that he stood at the altar and he has a golden censer. A censer there is nothing more but like a shovel. The scripture does not give us in the book of Exodus how long this shovel or this handle that would have even may have had a little bowl in it that it would carry the coals from the altar of burnt sacrifice to the altar of incense and there to the altar, of course, of the Ark of the Covenant. It says this angel here says it's been given unto him much incense. The incense was made up of four particular ingredients in the Old Testament. And the children of Israel were not allowed to use them four ingredients. It made up the holy incense for the tabernacle or the temple later on. And the Bible says that this angel has a golden censer. Get a picture of this angel. He has in his hands a instrument that's much like a deep shovel or like a handle with a bowl in it. And he's walking with this gold, sir, and there was given unto him incense. We use incense every day in our homes, didn't we? Things to make it smell a little better. We buy plug-ins and things that we hope will take away our husband's smelly feet smell. Amen. And it says that there he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now what happened here, the Bible says this angel, he has got that incense, and he's also got all the prayers of all the saints. And he's going before the throne there. And before the throne he brings the prayers of the saints. Do you remember what the fifth seal was? It was in the fifth seal that those tribulation martyred saints were crying and praying, "How long, O God?" David in the Psalms often cried out, "How long, O God, till you avenge our blood? How long until you bring justice to this wicked world?" Do you know that you and I pray that prayer? Do you know that we should pray that prayer? Do you know that every time you quote or you read what people call Lord's Prayer, I don't call it the Lord's Prayer because the Lord had a lot of prayers. They act like that's the only prayer ever prayed. But when they pray that model prayer, the disciple said, teach us to pray. He says, here's a model that you are to pray. I've preached that before. How you are to give thanks, give God glory. First thing you are to do, instead of running in there and say, give me, give me, give me. Help me, help me, help me. Just praise the Lord for the first few minutes. Hallelujah. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, you're holy God. There's no one like you, God. You're better than the best. You're greater than the greatest. You're more sweeter. Double negative or superlative. Which one is that? Than the sweetest. And you give them a little praise, but as you pray that prayer, what do they say? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The saints are praying that, and the fifth seal, they're saying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we pray that prayer, we are simply praying, God, bring justice to this world. You can't depend on our judges to bring justice. Oh, no, no, not what they stand for. Not how they are. They can't. Some of them can't decide if they're a boy or a girl sometimes. I'm telling you, we were living in a wicked day. I'm telling you, we're living in a wicked day. And you don't get much justice with man. But I'm telling you, God is a holy judge. And one day, He will bring justice to this earth. Right. The Bible says that when we pray, those prayers of the saints are going to be offered up. And those prayers are simply this: Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can I just say this? Stop for a moment. You need this. I need this. We need to understand what the purpose of prayer really is. You want to know that? You want to know the purpose of prayer? The purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven. Right. Listen to me. The purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven. We think that prayer is we just call God to order. And we just throw all our requests to God, and He is supposed to be our servant. Every time we pray, I mean, we did go to church Sunday, God, so you got to at least do something for me. No, that's not the way it is. The purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but the purpose of prayer is to get God's will done on earth. The purpose of prayer is to get God's will done on earth, not your will done in heaven. My will's not always right. My ways are imperfect, as Job said. And I'm at times, I have to confess my sin because I'm not perfect and holy like Jesus is. But He is holy, He is perfect, and His way is perfect. So the purpose of prayer, it ought to be not to get your will done in heaven, not to order God around, but it is that God's will may be done on earth. What is God's will during this time on earth? What is His will during the tribulation period? It is to judge. It is to make men and women that are unholy, unrighteous, unbelievers, give an account for their sin. God is now judging. And so the prayer is not our will, but thy will. And Lord, let thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. One day that prayer will be answered. And God will have His way while He judges and allows hail to break forth upon this globe. Notice verse number 4. I've got to hurry. Verse 4. The Bible says that with this censer, it has the prayers of the saints and also the incense in it. And He brings it to the throne where God is ruling and reigning. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. I circled that word in verse 4, smoke. So often when we think about smoke or read about smoke, we think of black, dark smoke. If you were to ride down the road and you saw black smoke ascending over across the woods, you would think something's on fire, some house, some land is on fire, something's wrong. You see that black, dark smoke ascending up to the clouds. I personally don't believe that this is black smoke, because black smoke is a picture of destruction. I believe that this is probably a clear or a white smoke, because white is a picture, and this smoke is not a picture to God of destruction, but it is a picture of adoration. The smoke is ascending with the incense with our prayers. And the Bible says that God knows our prayers, and that our prayers are important to Him. Hallelujah. Our prayers are special to Him. He begs us to call upon His name, to pray to Him, to seek His face, and He will do great things which we know not. And this smoke is ascending with the incense. And that incense had a sweet smell. And that incense, as you pray, understand this, as you pray, and you're praying with the right motives, and you're praying with the right intentions, and you're praying to give God glory and give Him praise, and that His will be done, as those prayers float up from the earth, from your lips, as they ascend up to heaven, it's like an incense, a sweet, savoring incense to the nostrils of God. God wants to hear you pray. God wants to hear you call for His help. God wants you to call out His name in prayer. It is a sweet incense unto God. Verse number 5, and the angel took the censer, and he filled it with the fire of the altar, and he cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. The incense and the smoke and the prayers are ascending up. But God takes the last part of this special occasion, which are the burning coals. And He takes these coals and He casts them like you would cast rocks into a water pond. He casts those coals upon the globe, upon the earth. And the Bible says, because of God's judgment ascending upon this earth, and it's like casting those fiery hot coals on the earth, the Bible says that there will be what? Voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Now it's time for the seven angels to sound their trumpets. Verse 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there was followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. The very first sounding of the trumpet, we see the very first trumpet judgment is sounded by this first angel. And the Bible says that as soon as the trumpet is sounded, that there is hail, that it looked as if it was fire mingled with blood. Preacher, can you explain that? Preacher, can you explain that away? Preacher, can you give us a logical answer or reason for that? I cannot explain the supernatural power of God. I believe the Bible. And I'm telling you that hail like fire descended from heaven on this earth. And look what its devastation was. Verse 7, one third part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass were burnt up. Do you know, when you read the book of Genesis and the account of the creation, that there are three life forms? And for you that believe in aliens, it's not one of them. Three life forms. It is human life form, plant or tree life form, and number 3, animal life form. And of those three life forms, the first life form that God created on the third day after He created the earth was plant and tree life. That was the first life form that was created, plant and tree life, vegetation. God made the earth. Did you know that God made the earth before He made the sun, moon, and stars? He made the earth first on the third day. And after He formed the earth, then He said, let the trees bring forth fruit. Let the grass bring forth upon the earth. And all vegetation, that was the first thing. So guess what? The first thing that's going to be destroyed is the first thing that was created, the first life form, and that is plants and trees. Do you know that trees bear fruit? Do you know that we depend on trees for shade and we depend on trees for so many things that they bring to this world and to our life? There's so many things they do, but one third of the trees, whether they bear fruit or they do not bear fruit, and all the grass, all the vegetation, one third of the world's trees at the sounding of the first trumpet will be destroyed from off the face of the earth. Don't you know that's going to affect life on earth? Second angel, verse 8. And the second angel sounded as it were a great mountain. He does not say it was a great mountain. He says, as it were, he's trying to describe what he sees. He said, it was like a great mountain that was on fire, burning with fire, was cast into the sea. And a third part of the sea became blood. Do you know what the second life form God created? It was not human life. It was animal life, sea life. First was plant and tree life, vegetation. Second was animal life, marine life. That'll be the second things that will be touched by this judgment. And a third part of the sea became blood. Verse 9, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. So now we see a third part of the trees, whether they bear fruit or they do not, the grass, vegetation is consumed by fire of hell. And the Bible says that the second trumpet, the second life form is touched, and it is animal life, sea life. And the Bible says a third part of the animals in the sea died. Don't you know that that's going to affect life? Can you imagine? It's probably hard for you to even comprehend what I'm saying today. But I believe God's Word, and I believe that these judgments will be very real. And I believe that during the tribulation period, if you're lost without Jesus Christ, and if you do not die before the tribulation period, you'll be in the tribulation period. And you'll see all these things, which some of you that may be here or may be listening by the ways of the means of the internet, you may think these things are not possible. There's no way. Listen, if God can create a man from the dust of the ground, if God can throw the stars out into galaxies and give them all a name, if God can form the sun and the moon and he can make woman from the rib of a man, you mark it down, God can do it. And he's going to judge. And his judgments are coming one right after another. The Bible says not only that, notice this, we're going to wind down the verse number 10. The third angel sounded. Here's the third trumpet judgment. And there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. He says, I looked, and after the third angel sounded, by the way, do you know in the book of Numbers, chapter number 10, that we are given the three reasons why trumpets were to sound? The first reasons that a trumpet would sound would be to announce war. The second reason that a trumpet was to sound was to call the people together, assembly them. The third reason for the blowing of a trumpet, the sounding of a trumpet, is for special events. These trumpets are being blowed just the same reason that Joshua and Israel blowed the trumpets around the walls of Jericho, is to show that war is coming. Destruction is real. And just like the city, wicked city of Jericho fell, the satanic systems of this world and the system of the Antichrist, it will fall and God will rule and reign. Hallelujah. And now the third trumpet is sounded by the third angel. And he says, I looked and there was a fireball. It was a star and it looked like a lamp. He said, I looked, it looked like a lamp was on fire and it was ascending from heaven and coming straight to the earth. And the Bible says that this was a star and this star was called wormwood. Do you know what the word wormwood means? It means undrinkable. It means undrinkable. And the Bible says that this star, as it comes through the galaxies and through our atmosphere, God will allow it to break apart. And it's going to break apart, and pieces of this star wormwood, star of bitterness, star, that means undrinkable, will fall in some of the rivers of our globe. I think there's like 100 principal rivers in the world. The longest river in the world, of course, is the was it the Amazon?
Yeah.
The longest river in America, of course, is the mighty Mississippi. And when you study these rivers, the Amazon is 4,000 miles long. The mighty Mississippi is 3,710 miles long. There is about 100 principal rivers in the world and so many other rivers in the world. And I don't know which rivers are going to be affected, but the Bible says this star will be cast from the heavens and it will break apart because pieces of it will go in the different rivers and it will turn fresh water into bitter water. Notice in verse 11, and the name of the star was Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. The trumpets of God, Brother Keeve, has affected the first life form that was ever created, plant, vegetation, tree life. The second trumpet is affecting the second life form that was created, marine life, animal life. And now this third trumpet is sounding, and now human life is its target. And many men will drink of the fresh water. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if Lake Lanier would turn into bitter waters? Can you imagine the fresh water reservoirs that we use today and depend on, if they would become bitter? The Bible says that men or mankind will drink of those waters and they'll die because it's bitter water. Verse 12, when the fourth angel sounded and the third part of the sun was smitten and the third part of the moon and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them were darkened and the day shone not for a third part of it. There's about 12 hours of daylight in a day. 12 hours. Can you imagine? That would be 4 less hours of daylight in a day.
Right.
One third would be 4. 4, 8, 12. That's one third, 4 hours. Your day goes from 12 hours of daylight to only 8 hours of daylight. The sun will be darkened. Why is it darkened, preacher? I'll tell you why it's darkened. Because the book of John tells us that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, He came into a world filled with spiritual darkness. And He came into this world loving all mankind. And He showed that love by not only healing those that came to Him by faith and touched them, raised some dead from their graves, touched the lame man, made him walk again, blind men could see again. But He proved His love ultimately when He took our sins and they falsely accused Him in Pilate's hall. And the Jews, that He became part of them, the Bible says He came into His own, the Jews, and they received Him not. They said, He's not our Lord. He's not our Savior. He's not our Messiah. And they laid Him on the cross and they nailed His hands and His feet. And they lifted Him up. And down in that hole, that cross fell. And there He was left to die for the sins of you and I, because He loved us. He was making a way for you and I to get to God. When Adam and Eve was here, they sinned. Sin separated. It's separated God's relationship with mankind. God cannot condone sin. God cannot look upon sin. He hates sin with a passion. He loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. And the Bible says we were separated from God, but Jesus came and He atoned for our sin. He reconciled us, and when He died, He took the hand of Almighty Holy God and He took the hand of unholy, sinful mankind. And through His death and His blood, when we are saved, He now joins our hands with God. And now we that are saved, we walk hand in hand with God, because what Jesus did, not what you have done. you are not good enough to go to heaven. You can be baptized a dry sinner, you'll come up a wet sinner. You can go to church all you want, you ought to go. Church going won't save you. You can do all you want to do, but the only way to go to heaven is by God's way. And God's way is through God's Son, Jesus Christ. You must repent of your sins and ask the Lord to save you. And the reason that these people, are going to experience darkness is because that's their desire. While they walked upon this earth, and they're all around us today, are you listening? They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And we're talking about spiritual darkness, but God's going to give them physical, real, natural darkness. That's what they wanted, and that's what they're going to get. And then the chapter ends. That's four judgments have been sounded, four trumpet judgments. There are three to go. But guess what? There's an angel that appears in the heavens, and he's flying. And he is commissioned to cry out a message. Whoa! 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 In other words, woe is me. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. The four judgment trumpets have sounded, but three yet remain. And we're going to see that those three are the worst of the first four that was already been done. I want to ask you today, do you know the Lord as your Savior? Do you know Him as your Savior today? Why don't you turn to Him and ask Him to save you today? I want you to stand to your feet in closing. Miss Sarah's going to begin playing the invitational hymn. You might want to come to this altar. It's open today and say, Lord, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know You. You might have family members that are lost without Jesus Christ. They refuse the Lord. They don't want anything to do with God. You better pray for them. Whether you're in the pew or around the altar, you need to pray for them. You need to say, God, I pray that You'd save my aunt, my uncle, my child, my grandchild, my mom, my dad, my wife, my husband, my co-worker. Oh, God, please do a work in their heart and save them. Lord, help them to turn to You. Lord, they're so involved in all that garbage from this world. They're so involved with all the sinfulness of this life. If they could only meet You and turn to You, it would change their life. Oh, we better pray, and we better pray. And we found out today that our prayers are ascending up to God, and they're like a sweet odor into the nostrils of God. Oh, He wants to hear you pray. He wants you to call upon His name. He wants you to beg for His help. Oh, listen to me. You and I need God's help today. Our family needs His help. Oh, I'm so glad that I'm saved. I'm so glad that on September the 8th, 1996, the Lord saved me when I repented. I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me, God. Come into my life. Save me. Save me, dear God. He changed my life. No, it didn't make me perfect, but it made me better than what I was. It changed my life for the good. And now I'm saved. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Not a single person looking at anybody or around. Just grant me this one request. Bow your head, close your eyes. I want to ask you the most important question that you'll ever be asked. It's not how much money you got. It's not what you're doing with your retirement. It's not how many kids you're going to have. It's not where you're going to move to, where you're going to live. But the most important question that ever be asked you is an eternal question. It weighs your eternal destiny. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you been saved? No one's looking around. I'm going to look and ask you. How many would say, Preacher, I know that I'm not saved, but I want to pray and ask Jesus to save me today. Anybody like that at all would raise your hand up high? Anybody at all? How many say, Preacher, I know that I'm saved, but I'm not where I ought to be with Jesus. I know that I'm not where I ought to be with God. There's some things going on in my life. It's just sin. It's not right. And I want to live for the Lord. I won't call you. I won't go to your house and talk to you about it. I won't tell anybody else. I'll just tell the Lord. I want to pray for you. Anybody like that would be honest? I think it's wonderful. I love honesty. I thank God for it. Our Heavenly Father, as we end this service in prayer, we thank you for the privilege we've had to be here today. Thank you, Lord, for those that, Lord, have visited with us today. Lord, we sure do thank you for them. I pray you'll give a special blessing, Lord, to these folks. Thank you for our members, Lord, that are here, Lord, with so many of our folks gone today, Lord. We sure miss them, Lord, but we feel in our heart that you was here. We feel, Lord, through the singing with the congregation, the special songs, and through the preaching of God, we felt that you were here. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we always want you here. We always want your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Lord, to us. Thank you for the word of God that was preached. I pray if there be one here that doesn't know whether they're saved or not, I pray you'll deal with their heart. Deal with their heart, God, that they'll call upon you soon for salvation. Oh, God, that they will not die in their sins. But, Lord, they'll call upon you and you'll save them before it's too late. I pray for those that have raised their hand and said, "Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I'm not being a good Christian. I'm just messing things up. I've got some things in my life that I've got to get right. And preacher, pray for me." And Lord, as they're praying for their own selves, Lord, I want to pray for them that you'd prick their heart, convict them, God, help them to turn to you and to serve you with all their heart. Lord, you're worthy of our all. And then, Lord, we ask you that you'll bless this offering. Lord, thank you for those that give faithfully, Lord. Lord, thank you for those that help pay the power bill and help pay, Lord, the gas bill, Lord. Help pay these things that we need. Thank you for those that give to the ministries of Open Door Baptist Church. Bless the offering. Use it for thy glory. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins, and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this, and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.